When the heart chakra opens, you feel something that is so simple and so beautiful. I describe it in so many different ways. I talk about it as love and compassion and joy, bliss, the idea of coming home into a warm house on a cold night. It goes on and on. There's so many descriptions of it. A sense of well-being. It's also a feeling of being very vulnerable, unprotected, and strangely at ease in the midst of that. For me, one of the easy accesses to the heart chakra is holding a baby or being around a child. If you're looking for the flavor and the feeling of it, that for me works. It won't work for everybody, but you just feel this protectiveness, this comfort, this sense of caring. It's very big. The secret of the opening of the heart chakra, however, is not that. It's a wonderful way to live with an open chakra. It's a wonderful way to experience the world. But the secret at the heart of the heart chakra, which reveals itself to anybody who spends any time there, is a word that may be meaningful to you and maybe not, but the word is portal. The open heart chakra is its own opening, but there is within it a deeper opening. It's a passageway into something that transcends every one of the feelings of an open heart. It's a deeper feeling. It is so quiet, so potent, so vast. Nityananda said, "Enter your heart and roam." And he didn't mean just take a walk through the woods. Discover the world, discover the universe. Totally in your heart. One of the beautiful things about sitting still in meditation is that once you discover your heart chakra, and once you let go enough that it wants to flower, and really there's nothing you can do to make it open. You can't pull a plant open. You can't pull a flower open. I always describe it as, it's just like a flower outside. The sun comes out and it just goes. And the light that shines on the heart chakra is called consciousness, awareness, attention. And Rudy used to say, just go to your heart chakra, hold your breath for 10 seconds, and ask inside for help to surrender. Because it's into this place that you will find the comfort that you seek everywhere outside in life. You will always look to people to give you that acknowledgement. You will always look to the person around you that you fall in love with to basically give you the feeling that your heart chakra provides. If your heart chakra opens, you don't need others to give to you. you find your own sense of embrace, your own sense of self, your own sense of being embraced. And then you get to share that with people. This opening that takes place will allow you to feel an enormous connection to every person in your life, even if they don't reflect it back. You will just feel it. You will feel this flow. So there are, in a way, two aspects to the heart chakra. One is you go inside and bask in or roam around in the vastness of this beauty, this extraordinary beauty. And then, when it's time, this beauty, this conscious love, this presence will begin to leave you through the heart chakra. It will begin to express itself into the world, and you will feel love for others. You will feel love for life. You will feel love for what is. In some cases, it floods out. It just gushes out. And it just embraces everything around it. And if you're at all sensitive, you'll feel it. You'll feel when you're around a person who emanates love. Rudy. I mean, he didn't just emanate love, you know, he just... water fountain of love, fire hydrant of love. It never stopped. It just... We're all capable of that, every one of us. It's a journey to that. And it's only a part of the spiritual process. It's not the be-all or the end-all, it's just part of what occurs. This ability to love, and this ability to feel deeply inside this place of being loved. Being loved. And in a way, being and loved are not two different things. Being is love, or the old adage, God is love. That is exactly what you feel. Love. Love. What does that mean? It means total knowing of you. Total knowing and accepting of you. Absolute acknowledgement of your truth and your being. That's what is felt. And I love the name presence because it's such a present experience. It's so vital and vibrant in the moment. When I was early in my practice of trying to open my heart chakra and all the other chakras, and feeling how deficient I was in every one of them, I started hearing people like Ramana Maharshi and other teachers of the time saying, there's nothing to do. You're already what you're looking for. And that was one of the most painful things I could ever hear, because I kept going, well, what's that about? If this is all I'm looking for, I don't want it. I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be this incomplete, finished entity. I want to be like Rudy. I want to be something more. I have to grow. I have to become. I have to move toward this otherness. And so I kept putting that aside. I kept saying, that can't be true. It can't be true that I'm already that, because I'm not enough. I'm just not enough. And so I worked and I worked and I worked and I kept practicing, and I learned how to, what feels like open chakras. I learned how to experience the world from these deeper spaces inside. I learned how to find the portal into myself. It was all absolutely extraordinary practice. It was in many ways willful. It was effortful. It took an enormous commitment of daily effort. Rudy said, you do this every day. I did it every day. Rudy said, life is the teacher. I took that seriously. And I made this work. And I made it work, and I made it work. And then, about 2 years ago, the effortful part of me, the Bruce factor that was working so hard, just went poof, and it was gone. And it was very strange, because then what? How do you continue to work if there's nobody asking for something? And that awakening was to something I had heard very long ago. You're already what you're looking for. And it was really fascinating because it wasn't Bruce I was looking for. It was myself. It was the self. And each one of us cocoons the self in this personal entity that we think we are. We, in a sense, grow the self, but it's not really true because the self really is kind of growing us. Or not even, there's really no growing. There is a dialogue between the two. A dialogue that appears to be me and it. Me, myself, and I. But then that dialogue stops and there is only what is. That's all there is. There's only what is. And that what is, I call it elemental self, but it really means there's no two. There is no this and that. There is no other. There is only this being. And this being is what I discovered through my practice. It is this portal into presence. It is like living in truth. But let me explain what happens, because this is where people get in trouble. And this is really the most fascinating part to me of spiritual practice. This feeling of presence is so extraordinary that one wants continually to come back to it. One wants actually to have it all the time. And the first experience of awakening is that you will never lose it. It will always, always be there. And then, I speak for myself, and I'm not talking for all the awakened souls in the world, because God knows it's probably different for everybody. But in this case, it got lost, or it seemed to get lost. What really seems to have happened is you go from this very deep and profound space back into this life, day-to-day life. And you feel, at least I did, that I was doing something wrong. How come I lost this unbelievably beautiful, wondrous presence to be in the world? It's a little bit like, why do you wake up in the morning? You're in this perfect state of bliss when you're sleeping. It's so simple, it's so easy, it's so beautiful. Why do you have to keep coming back to this? I don't know the answer to that, but I know you do keep coming back to this. And even when you're awakened, you keep coming back to life as you know it. And that life has a really interesting aspect. You have struggles during the day. You have drama, you have joy, you have complication, you have simplicity, you have everything going on. And then you get exhausted by it. And then you sit down somewhere near the end of the day. You relax, you take a breath. Friends of mine take drinks. Whatever you do something, and you just get quieter. And then you put yourself in bed. And you sit there for a moment, and then you give yourself over to sleep. Willingly, happily, you let go of everything. Spiritually, You experience in meditation the return to self, the return to presence. And it's like going to sleep, only it's not. It's very sweet and very awake. But you come back to conflict, drama, all the stuff of daily life. I don't have enough money, I don't have enough love, I don't have this, I should have done that, why didn't that happen? All of that comes back. And then, and this is the big part, you realize that's real. That's your life. The drama, the conflict, the stuff that doesn't work, the stuff you love, the stuff you can't have, the stuff you do have, the too much, the too little. That's your life. That's reality. That's what is. That's what is. And it's not you and it. There is just this, I keep calling it the soup. There's the soup of being, and it's flavored by, they don't like me, they love me. Today is hard, today is beautiful. It keeps changing, it keeps evolving, it keeps moving around, it spins, it's alive. It's this constant flow, and the less you get in the way of it, the bigger and faster it is. The more you think it should be this, and you start to constrict and restrict and want it to be this way and push it that way and reach for that, as long as you're doing all of that, it doesn't function as magnificently as it does when you stop doing that. You just go, bring it on. And it brings everything, meaning the most difficult, the most complicated, the most dramatic, the most crisis-laden stuff you can imagine, and the most beautiful, all at the same time. And it's that constant mix of life without you trying to separate yourself from parts of it, the taking on of the whole thing, and then this idea that life is the teacher takes on a whole new meaning. Because as long as you stop fighting what is and just take it on, be with it, even move toward it rather than away from it. You know, I often get these stomach pains. You don't need to know my medical stuff, but it comes up often in the middle of the night. And my tendency always was to do something to work with it, to get away from it, to not have to deal with it. Now I do the opposite. I absolutely enter it. I just go yes to it. And it's proving to be a teaching tool. It's almost chakra related. It's a pain that wakes me up and gets my attention and is right in the solar plexus, and I just go yes. And it's hard and it hurts. And I go into it and it goes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just hurts. Sometimes life hurts for a very long time. Sometimes life hurts in the most profound and unbearable ways. All I can say is, if you enter into the truth of it, the reality of it, the things I've been talking about a lot for the last period of time, accept what is, it scrubs away the ego mind. It scrubs away every scrap of separation. It brings you into a kind of unity that is profound in ways I cannot express. Real life, day-to-day real life, is what we're here to experience. Truth is in this moment. Nowhere else. It's in this moment. And as shitty as it may be, or as beautiful as it may be, it doesn't matter because it's going to change. It's going to change either very fast or very slowly. But it won't change if you're trying to, well, it will, but if you're trying to manipulate it into something else, you're going to find that it puts dampers on it on some level. You almost hold on to the thing you're trying to get rid of. It's only by truly accepting. Had I known this, you know, 40 years ago when I first heard of this teaching, and I really accepted it, my spiritual life might have moved very rapidly. But I always fought it, and I always thought I have to do this work. So I've understood now that that's part of how this works. Meditation is a very essential step in learning how to get past the need to meditate. You've got to go through it. You've got to go through all of life. You have to live the stages. You have to live everything that's happening in your life. You have no choice. The only choice you have is, do I fight it or do I not? And you don't even really have that choice. But you think you do. And as long as you do, exercise that choice. Try to go, help me to surrender. Meaning, let me be what is. Allow me to live the pain and the beauty. Allow me to take it as it rises and as it falls away. And as you do that, wisdom arises. Presence floods through your system. It's flooding through even when it doesn't feel good, even when you don't like it, even when you wish it was this. It is what it is. And all you have to do, your entire spiritual practice from this second on, honestly, if you want it, is be what is. Done. You are the thing you're seeking. Nothing you're looking for is in the future. It's right now. And all you have to do is nothing. Just be it. And it's going to take acts of courage beyond belief. Sally, you know that. A lot of us know that. A lot of us know that getting through the next moment is the most courageous thing we can possibly do. Not even the next moment, this moment. Sometimes it hurts beyond belief. Sometimes we don't see an end to it. Often we don't. That doesn't change the picture. If you are accepting what is, if you are truly accepting what is, without looking for it to be this or that, just accept it. Every so often, this portal opens. The heart chakra just goes, thy will be done. Thy will be done. In a sense, you learn to do that every second. Literally every second. Thy will be done. And then you feel the portal open and there is just presence, period. And you also learn to love it and open when it feels good and when it doesn't feel good. When it feels like shit and when it feels like strawberry ice cream. You learn to open to what is, period, and that will be the greatest teaching you will ever find. It's the whole of it, and the beauty of it. Any poem you've ever read that you've fallen in love with is all about what is. People finding beauty in the worst and the most awful, and in the most beautiful, finding perfection, finding wholeness, finding completion. And it's a remarkable journey. And, you know, my journey of the last year particularly has been really big, big blocks of stuff moving around and causing a lot of activity, a lot of really major highs and a lot of really major lows. And I've watched them working more than entering into them. And the watching of what's going on is mostly watching how brilliant the universe is in taking care of getting rid of you, which is really what it's doing. It's giving you a being which it utilizes, honestly, to make the world work and function, and then it removes it. And reminds you or releases you back into your true self. And most of us go back to our true self screaming and crying and, you know, not me, not me. But what do you mean by that? You know, it's going to take you away, honestly. It's going to take you apart completely. You are in the process of being dismantled, and if you really want to feel what that feels like, approach 70 years old and watch it. And I'm seeing it in all my friends. You know, we're all We're all being dismantled. And it's amazing to watch. And some are going gently into that good night and some are not. And that's kind of your choice. You know, you can scream and yell, which is fine, or you can go, again, thy will be done. But ultimately, we're all brought back into ourself, our present self. The joy of what we do here, which is a gift, truly, is we sit down together in a collective way and we taste the self. We taste presence. We taste it. A lot of people taste it when they meditate. And then you leave here or you stop meditating and you go back into the world, and I'd say 90% of you think, oh, I lost it. I lost it. I had it there, but I lost it. If only I could go back to the class, if only I could sit and meditate in the middle of my work day, I would find it again. I get that. I totally get why you think that. But all I want to tell you is the lost nature of it, the losing of it, the sense of not having it is as viable and important and real as the having it. You've got to know that. Not having it is it. And once you know that not having it is it, then you know it's it all the time. That's the most important thing. It's never not it. Ever. So don't think you've left it behind. Don't think you've got to drive, you know, however many hundreds of miles to come someplace to find it. You can't not find it. Because it's never not there. And once you realize that the shitty feeling is it, then you're halfway home, you know? Because you don't have to try to make it something else. That's the very thing. This is the thing. This is it. So, you know, I try to find 1,000 different ways to keep saying all of this, but this is as direct as I can get it. The beauty of life is in every moment, even when you don't like it, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't work, even when it's taking everything away from you. All it's doing is revealing how beautiful it is. The loss of something is what reveals what was or what can be or what is. And it's beautiful. So, I'm so grateful. I got off the plane yesterday and I started walking to the door where Blanche was picking me up, who did not have to drive 2.5 hours to get me, but did. And I'm walking from the plane, and I'm starting to realize every miracle in front of me. Every miracle. And I cannot tell you how many miracles there were, that there was solid ground under my feet, that there was air to breathe, that there was an escalator carrying me to another level, that my bags came off of this strange machine and circled around, and I was able to figure out which one was mine. It went on and on. The miracle of each moment, the miracle of every moment, and how few of us ever see it. And I realized I was walking in a living miracle. And we are all walking in a living miracle. You don't get it. You lie down at night and you go, oh God, there's a crumb in my bed. You've got a bed. It's a soft thing that you lie on. There's a cover that comes over you. The temperature is pretty close to being perfect. Everything is right. There's someone you love beside you or not. You know, even the absence of somebody is still, you are there. You are there with yourself. The miracle, over and over and over. That's what we're living. That's what we're living, and this moment is that miracle. Period.